We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. What up? It is Maggie and Perloff. We're hanging out with you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We're on CBS Sports Radio. We're on CBS Sports Network. We're on SiriusXM Channel 158. If you want to get in touch with the show on social media, at Maggie and Pearl, P-E-R-L, at Andrew Perloff, at Maggie Gray. So many easy ways to get in touch with us. And stop by. Say hello. You know, leave a comment, whatever.
Absolutely. I got in trouble on Twitter today.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The day's not even over.
Yeah. I defended Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. We'll get more into this.
Like, oh, and then did you like have to duck?
I
dodge
got killed.
Fruit?
And by the blue checkmark brigade were after me. Were like, do you realize how badly Cliff Kingsbury finishes the last few seasons?
Oh,
yes,
sorry,
I
that
really
was me.
Yeah. You should see what the, yeah, you and led the charge, but. It's amazing to me, and we'll get into it later, but the one-game reactions are worse than they've ever been.
Smells like an against the grain that's going to be coming your way in just about 20 minutes or so. But looking ahead now to the divisional round, and not that this is so surprising, but all of the home teams are favorites. So now that we've got our final matchup here because of last night, the Rams win, they're going to be going to Tampa. So they're obviously, the spreads are not like super high here. But the Rams right now are a 3-point underdog to the Tampa Bay Bucks. We'll just go through the other games real fast. The Tennessee Titans right now are a 3.5-point favorite over the Bengals. The Packers are a 5.5-point favorite over the 49ers. And the Chiefs are a 2.5-point favorite over the Bills. So we're going to pick our upsets right here and now. We're staking this out on Tuesday, and we're not going to waver for 1 second about the team we're picking to pull an upset.
Wait, who decided that?
Policy. I just did right now.
Okay. So if you're looking for an upset team, there's two teams that are obviously not going to be the pick here. Cincinnati Bengals, I am not trusting at this level.
Man,
of the playoffs.
And you thought the blue check brigade was going after you about the Kyler Murray takes. Just wait till they hear your Bengals take.
The beat up 49ers played deep into Sunday, and then they're going to turn around for a Saturday game with their two best defensive players hurt and Jimmy G's finger messed up. I'm not picking that one. Then you have the Bills. They happen to be facing the greatest quarterback in the league and a red-hot Chiefs team. So I'm staying away from that one. That leaves me the L.A. Rams, and I feel good about my L.A. Rams.
Why?
So you have to judge the Bucs and the Rams not from last week. The Bucs blew out an Eagles team that shouldn't have been there.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams blew out a Cardinals team that really shouldn't have been there. So we have to look at what these teams have. Right now, the Rams have all their weapons going. Cam Akers, we saw last night, the running back.
How about that? 6 months off of an Achilles.
Less than 6 months. He looked like the strongest player on the field. There was the unfortunate hit to Buda Baker, but he is at full strength. Odell Beckham, he looks strong.
By the
strong.
Way, Buda Baker out of the hospital and doing
oh,
well.
Oh, great news.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham. I haven't seen Odell Beckham look that springy since early Giants days. It's like a new player.
Mm.
Tyler Higbee, tight end, is a weapon. Cooper Kupp, they didn't even use last night. So all the weapons are going for LA Rams. Then you look at Tampa Bay. The offense looked great last week. Tom Brady had so much time, he could have thrown to Maggie and Perloff and been completely successful. In fact, I think we could have tried out for the Patriots. Their wide receivers were so bad. But the Bucs' weapons are not there. It didn't show last week. They didn't need to show them last week. It's going to show up here. I don't trust Matthew Stafford over Tom Brady, obviously, but it's all the weapons around him, all the pieces. Then the pass rush, Von Miller, unbelievable. Aaron Donald up the middle. I think Tom Brady's uncomfortable And I think that the Rams pull the upset.
You know, I like where you're going there because there is a blueprint to beat Tom Brady. Now, the Rams couldn't do it the last time they were in the Super Bowl against Tom when he was with the Patriots. But having maybe a little of that institutional knowledge and understanding that it's the one way that you possibly make him uncomfortable is you got to hit him a lot. I'm not saying anything that no one gets here. I'm not trying to be football girl. But this is the tried and true formula. And the Rams actually have the defense to pull that off.
Yeah.
So I like your pick there.
Yeah, and the Rams beat him earlier in the season, which actually I don't like. They beat him in September, 34-24. The Rams offense got hot in the middle of the game. That I don't
like.
That
goes against your rule of the rematch.
Yeah, it goes against my rematch. But September was so long ago, I'm going to overlook that and say the Rams win.
Yeah, a September game might as well have been last season. We know how the NFL goes. So this is not going to be a surprise because obviously my fan interest here. But I'm going to take it one step further for why the Buffalo Bills are going to be my upset pick. Now, there's a theme that is developing here with the Bills. And the theme is revenge. It started last week in Buffalo against Bill Belichick, who had a 19-3 record in Buffalo since the year 2000. Took him out. Kill Bill style. This is the revenge tour.
Is that what that music is?
Yes. Quentin Tarantino is producing this segment. And Mike Zamter.
And you're Uma Thurman. You're about to go on a Buffalo Bills inspired killing streak.
We're all going on the tour together, holding the hands with the Bills Mafia. And next up is the Chiefs. Last year, they lost 38-24 in the conference championship game. Mahomes, 325 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce combined for 22 receptions and 290 receiving yards combined. And this was the dagger.
Going to throw a slant, caught, 35-yard line. Juke move, Tyreek Hill, 45, 50-yard line, catch it back, look out, 40, 35, 30, Cheetah at full speed, 10 to the 5-yard line. You play and press, the Cheetah will run you all the way around the earth. It's a 71-yard pass play to the Cheetah.
Wait, are Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce still on the Chiefs?
Yes, but Mitch Holtis from Chiefs Radio Network, I'm making a mental note of the Cheetah running circles. We're all making a mental note. Not going to forget what you said when Tyreek Hill scored a touchdown. It's going to be different this time. The revenge tour continues. Then who would be next up? Well, you don't believe in the Bengals. So they would meet the Tennessee Titans. And this is where the revenge tour goes on a really deep cut. This one would be for all my diehard, lifelong Bills fans who remember the year 2000, the Music City Miracle in Tennessee.
My God.
Do the Titans have a miracle left in them? If they do, they need it now. Christie kicks it high and short. Fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something.
30,
he's
40,
got something.
50,
he's got it.
40,
he's got
40,
it.
20, 10.
He's got
5,
it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans! There are no flags on the field! It's a miracle! Tennessee has pulled a miracle!
Mike Keith, Titans Radio Network. We remember, Mike Keith, that horrible moment in Bills history where they get beat by the Titans in the wild card round in 2000. The Bills did not make the playoffs for the next 17 years. They had 2 winning seasons over that time where they went 9-7. And those 2 winning seasons were exactly 10 years apart. 2004, 2014. We remember this is part of the revenge tour.
Huh? Is Doug Flutie going to come in and talk to the team before the game? Is Josh Allen going to say, this is for when Frank Wycheck threw a backwards pass at it again? He was 4 years old. That was 2 decades ago, Maggie.
This one's for the fans. You slay the dragon of the Titans and all those bad memories.
That's one bad memory on one fluke play.
And then you go to the Super Bowl. And who's going to be waiting there for you? Well, not if you have your way. Tom Brady.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like meeting Mike Tyson at the end of Punch-Out. You finally get to the the final stage, and you reach Brady, who against the Bills, as a starter, is 33-3. Dominance. He's got more wins over the Bills than any person in NFL history. Over 8,700 yards, over 70 touchdowns, including facing the Bills earlier this season. The game goes to overtime. He throws a dime to Perryman for his 700th career passing touchdown. Brady's sitting there, and that's going to be the final villain that the Bills will take down on the revenge tour. And that's how I see this going for Buffalo.
We were supposed to do one upset for the divisional round.
I know, but I got a little carried away.
We were supposed to do this epic Quentin Tarantino two-part movie, Kill Bills Volume 1 and 2. And why, I don't understand, how is Tom Brady the Mike Tyson and punch out and not Bill Belichick? You have to decide who's the ultimate enemy here.
It was Brady. Belichick, they got rid of in the wild card round.
Okay.
Boom. Then next up is going to be Mahomes. Boom. Then next up is going to be the Titans. That's avenging an old one. And then Brady's sitting there at the end. This is how it has to be.
You have to admit the Titans one, bit of a deep dive there. That one might not be as fresh in the minds of the Bills players.
Maybe not to you.
Maybe not to the guys who were three. Yeah, who were 2 years old at the time.
But to me and to the rest of the Bills fans who remember, that's going to be a big one.
And just going back to the Music City Miracle for 1 second.
Yeah.
Now, say that play didn't happen. Was that Buffalo team geared to make a Super Bowl run? Were they probably going to win it all? Weren't they like 9-7 and snuck into the playoffs?
Listen, okay, Rob Johnson starting instead of Doug Flutie. You want to rehash this? What do you want to call Wade Phillips up? Like, we all know what happened. That is one of the most devastating moments. And believe me, this is saying something for this franchise. That's one of the most devastating moments in the history of the franchise. And obviously, they've played the Titans since. And they always, always bring up the Music City Miracle. Beating them in the playoffs, this would be the time when you could finally put that to rest.
What about all the teams that beat them in the Super Bowl? Like, would it have been nice to get Dallas again? Well, maybe the Giants to avenge?
I going to do? The Giants are one of the worst teams in the NFL. I mean, I can't do miracles here. I'm just looking at who's in front of them.
Yeah, so maybe next year.
I can't make the Washington football team magically get good again. I don't have that kind of power.
See, if this was really a Quentin Tarantino movie, there would have been some way for the Bills to get all these people. I love this, Maggie. This is an incredible take, but now I'm worried because you are so hell-bent on revenge. I feel like what if they lose by a field goal to the Chiefs?
No.
What is it? I mean, we're not even letting this enter your mind. How do you take this as a fan?
This is my upset. This is what I'm picking here.
You're not worried that your expectations are getting too high. They are facing, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are pretty good.
I realize that, and they looked really good. The fact that Mahomes threw 5 touchdowns against the Steelers last weekend, I noticed. I definitely noticed. But this Bills team, peaking at the right time, Josh Allen, best player on the field.
I love it.
Mahomes is,
And I could tell anyone
1-1-A.
Listening.
1-1-A.
I can tell anyone who's listening, Maggie really does feel this way. For me, when the Eagles lost on Sunday.
You bet on the Bucs.
Yeah, I was like, I saw that coming. That's what every Eagles fan is like. Man, they probably shouldn't have been here. That's a much healthier place to be as a fan. You got to lower expectations, Maggie. Now I'm very, very worried for you because this is a very good Chiefs team. If this game comes down to the wire, I'm worried about your blood pressure. There's going to be splattered wing sauce all over the house.
Just like, blue cheese on the side of my face. Yeah, just leave me, Just if something bad happens, just leave me and just save yourself.
Can I ask, this might come off the wrong way. Are all Bills fans crazy? What's the deal here? Are you guys all nuts? I mean, you might not jump off.
No, that didn't come out the wrong way.
You might not jump off an RV onto a table. But is that sort of thread of insanity, is that all over Western New York?
I think it starts when they put the Frank's Red Hot in the baby bottles. It makes everybody just a little bit loco.
Yeah.
The hot sauce gets into the diet in a really, really young age. And like you can even see, you don't even have to be from the hinterlands, right? Look at what Ryan Fitzpatrick was doing. He's at the game watching the Bills, a team that paid him $50 million at one point. So like, you're welcome. Even he, who's like literally under contract with another team, showed up at the Bills game. He's shirtless in 5-degree weather, just going bananas.
Yeah.
It gets into your skin, man. It gets under your skin, into your veins.
And he didn't look like he was in football shape exactly. It was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I didn't notice that. Does he ever look like he
was? Yeah. I don't know if he ever did, but that was full dad bod with the beard. I loved it. I think he should be a backup in Buffalo next year. Re-sign him.
You know what's funny about going shirtless in Buffalo if you're Ryan Fitzpatrick? Like, and I say this to my fellow brethren there up there, but like the odds are if you're next to someone else who's with a shirt off, you're going to look like Mr. Universe. You know? Not a lot of hard bodies.
So I should go up to Buffalo to feel better about yes. myself. Do you have any problem with guys who wear sleeves? Like Josh Allen put on sleeves for the game on Saturday.
I think it's crazy that you wouldn't wear sleeves.
Oh, come on. If you're
You don't have to prove you're macho to me. I think it's crazy you'd only wear one layer. It's 5 degrees outside.
But I just proved that all Bills fans are psychopaths, but I guess you know, you're not ready to go up there in a t-shirt.
No. I'll save that for the people who are 15 Labatt Blues in.
Would you enjoy seeing them in L.A. in February?
I would.
At SoFi Stadium on February 13th.
If my revenge tour prediction comes true, that's what they'll be facing, Tom Brady.
And will you cry if they win?
Probably. I probably will. I've never cried over sports.
Me neither until 2018 in U.S. Bank Stadium, Minnesota. I called my dad and said, Dad, I'm on the field. We did it. I wasn't even like, I have like five other teams.
I forgot when you got subbed in.
I said, Dad, we did it. And just tears started flowing. And that is, I guarantee that's going to be you if the Bills revenge tour actually happens.
Well, it's already started. The revenge tour is mid-stride right now. Already took out Belichick. Next up is Mahomes.
I'm a little scared of you right now, by the way. There's definitely like a murderous glint in your eye, and you're really enjoying this idea of putting your enemies down.
Yeah, you should be scared. Everybody should be scared. Look out. Bills are coming. I couldn't even keep a straight face. I've got no poker face whatsoever. Coming up next, of course, Tom Petty said even the losers get lucky sometime. That's going to lead us into Perloff going against the grain. We'll explain it all next. It's Perloff and Maggie on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and Sirius XM Channel 158.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back on Maggie and Perloff. I'm Perloff, she's Maggie. Now, Maggie's rant on how the Bills are going to roll through the playoffs continued well into the break. She is a woman possessed
roll.
Right now.
I said revenge tour, and there's symbolic reasoning behind each team they would face.
Right. Well, you roll is, and they're not going to necessarily blow everyone out. Be honest here. You expect a close game with the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really close.
I don't see how it wouldn't be unless somebody gets hurt, and I'll knock on wood.
Yeah, it's not going to be nothing like the Bills-Patriots.
No.
I want to focus for a moment, if I can, on some of the teams that lost in this round. I think they're getting a bad rap, which is hard to say after this weekend's debacle and last night's debacle. So I am going to go against the grain.
Against the grain.
Okay, Maggie, I'm going to start with a question for you in this against the grain.
Okay.
What do Cleveland's Kevin Stefanski, Indy's Frank Reich, the Chargers' Brandon Staley, Washington's Ron Rivera, Atlanta's Arthur Smith all have in common? Besides being good-looking fellas. How about the fact that none of them were playing in the wild card round, none of them were blown out in the wild card round, and we're not talking about how they should be fired? What do Mike McCarthy and Cliff Kingsbury have in common? They both had terrible outings in the wild card round. Lots of problems on both teams. Very, very disappointing. But it's like one of those things, you can't win if you're not nominated for a sports Emmy. I don't know if we're going to win one. It's a long way to go on that.
But we're in week three.
It's almost as if these coaches are in a bad spot because they made the playoffs.
I see what you're saying. Yes.
These are standalone games, so everybody sits around and makes opinions on them that mean too much. We do it during the season. Every Monday and Thursday night game is a referendum. Mm-hmm. The same game happens at Sunday at 1 o'clock. We barely pay attention. But we have this issue now because of Twitter and instant reaction, and there's like seven different casts, Manning casts. They had Dan Orlovsky doing some ESPN Plus thing. There's 100 analysts. So everybody's watching that game, and they make way too big a deal of that. Cliff Kingsbury has been improving every year in the Cardinals. The dude won 11 games with an awful Arizona team. When he took over in 2019, they had just won three games. In typical NFL history, going from 6 wins to 8 wins to 11 wins, this is what you want to see from your coach.
It's called progress.
Now, you're seeing all these reports, headlines in the Arizona Republic. It's time to move on from Cliff Kingsbury. Mm. I have a friend in the league who said it could happen any day, possibly. I think they're going to hold on to him. Same thing with Mike McCarthy. The Dallas Cowboys won 12 games. I know that's inflated because of the NFC East. That's what you want to do, Maggie. You want to win 12 games. I just think...
Also, no one brought it up when Belichick was beating up on the AFC East all those years.
Yeah, or Peyton Manning with the Colts in the AFC South.
Yep, good point.
Don't you want to see Cliff Kingsbury with all those weapons back together next year? Rondale Moore, his wide receiver, rookie wide receiver this year, get another year of experience. You get Christian Kirk, who played very well. You get Hopkins back. I don't know about A.J. Green. Don't you want to see what he does one more year with that? And same with Mike McCarthy. That offense was amazing this year. I would love to see a completely healthy Dak Prescott and a completely healthy Ezekiel Elliott. But if you're going to start over at coach, I don't know what you have. If you bring in, say, Brian Flores, like a defensive coach, or our guy, Matt Eberflus, I don't think you want to start over. I think you want to give these guys one more year because they had so much regular season success. I just think we had... You know, it's just like one of those things. It's a Monday night game, and everybody's like, fire Cliff Kingsbury. Where did you stand on this issue?
Okay, I think it's admirable for you to stick up for the losers. I do. I think not enough people are giving voice to the losers, and they need a hero, and I think you are that hero for the losers.
But those are my people.
I'm glad you found your tribe. But the thing is about... Okay, you can look at it as, all right, at least they made the playoffs. But once you get to that big stage and you get not just beaten, exposed. See, that's where I might disagree with you. Like, I don't think that Cliff Kingsbury should be fired today, but I believe that he probably goes into next season already on the hot seat. Because they got to a wild card game, yes, congratulations. But this is not about participation trophies. When they got there, they got waxed. They weren't competitive last night. Mike McCarthy's team, the Dallas Cowboys, yes, you got to the playoffs. Good for you. You had a home wild card game against a team that was playing for their playoff lives the week before. And up until the fourth quarter, you had scored 7 points. And then your big plan at the end of the game was one where you look so woefully unprepared and discombobulated, you get exposed. See, like, that's the flip side of this coin is, like, yes, you get on the bigger stage and congrats, you've made it to the playoffs, but now you do have our attention, and what do you do with it? And those two teams were embarrassing.
So you're saying if they were both 9-8 and hadn't made the playoffs, then these guys wouldn't be on the same kind of hot seat? They're getting more scrutiny because of their success? That doesn't seem fair.
It's called expectations. Mm-hmm. And when the expectations go up, that's when you start to figure out, like, what teams are actually prepared and good and have crossed the T's and dotted the I's and which ones haven't. You know, we're not expecting, I'm not expecting a 9-8 team to be awesome. I was not expecting your Eagles to get anywhere near the Bucks. They made the playoffs, but I realized what it was. This is a team that basically was like rebuilding going into the year, and they overachieved. When the Cardinals got off to a 7-game winning streak, the expectations change. When the Dallas Cowboys have, you know, the type of weapons they have on both offense and defense, the expectations change.
Right, but the question is, what puts them in better position next year? Do you honestly think the Cowboys started over? They had Jason Garrett for a decade.
Yeah.
And this was a different team this year. So I think it puts them in the best position. I'm not sure who they're going to hire, but starting over doesn't make any sense, and
You don't have to start over. To me, you have Dan Quinn, who's already in the building. This guy is like a really hot coaching candidate for all these other teams. I'm not saying you just want to go with the groupthink here, but if Mike McCarthy, do you actually think anything's going to change? That team was so unprepared for that offensive play, and he's the offensive side of the ball. You have to place blame somewhere. And I think that it's McCarthy, it's Dak Prescott, it's Kellen Moore, who, by the way, is like skating through all of this. That, like, he has no, but it's the head coach. And that was embarrassing.
They're 2,000 plays in a season, and you're going to make a referendum on Kellen Moore, Mike McCarthy, and Dak Prescott because of one play at the end of the game?
Yeah.
And everyone's saying, like, that costs them the game. Do you realize that they had to hit a 40-yard pass?
It would have been a miracle, yes.
So it was setting up a Hail Mary, but everyone, that's going to be the final play. It was a stupid play. It was hysterical. It was maybe the funniest play in 10 years of NFL football. I loved it, but you can't judge where the franchise is going based on that. I mean, honestly, they could bring in a new guy. It's going to have the same problems with Jerry Jones. I feel like 12 wins is something to build off of.
Well,
and if you're looking next year, when everyone's picking their picks, they're going to say, wow, that is by far the most talented team in the NFC East. We know they're well coached. They have good coordinators. That speaks to Mike McCarthy as well. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't see it that way. I think there is a lot of shine that's off the Cowboys now that might actually stay off them. Like, people have the fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, or fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. I knew I was going to butcher that as soon as it left my mouth. But
fool me twice. The Cowboys have been fooling the entire country for 15 years.
Well, see, that's the other part. I think there's a fed upness to the Dallas Cowboys right now where it's like nobody wants to fall for this again. And last year they didn't make the playoffs, so we didn't have the Cowboys to hype up. And so this year they did, and they fell flat. And it's just a reminder of all of the postseason, you know, letdowns from the last quarter century.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, in Philly, Andy Reid started losing some playoff games. You know, he didn't win a Super Bowl, and they got sick of him. And the
how many division titles did he win?
Multiple.
Yeah.
The franchise suffered. They went to Chip Kelly. It was a mistake. I was thinking, remember the Chargers fired Marty Schottenheimer when he was 14-2. Now, they actually were still pretty competitive under North Turner afterwards, but it didn't serve them. I honestly think moving on is not always a panacea. Look at the Steelers. I mean, they could have moved on from Mike Tomlin and some playoff disappointments, but that would have been nuts. I think sticking with is underrated because when you're in the media, all you really, you know, just want to fire everybody and start over every year, especially with a high-profile team like the Cowboys. And this is another side topic. I think people have an issue with Cliff. They had an issue when he got hired. They deserved to get hired.
Mm.
He was a USC offensive coordinator. He did not win at Texas Tech. I think people thought he didn't belong to be a coach, and now they were just waiting to pounce. Then they saw him at the draft with his big house and his fancy Cliff. He goes to Vegas and parties.
So you're saying you think there's a bias against good-looking people?
Oh, absolutely. I've had it my whole life, Maggie. But I think this has a lot to do with...
It must be so hard for you.
I think a lot of experts thought it was a bad hire, and now they're just psyched about this.
I get what you're saying about like the schadenfreude or whatever,
yeah.
But I don't think that's necessarily what's happening here. I think that if that game last night had been 27-23, I don't think we're talking about it. They were down 21-0 before the Cardinals had a first down, and he's supposed to be the offensive guy. That's why. I don't think it's a greater commentary on he's an outsider or anything like that, because he's got a trend of, yes, they're getting better every year, but they're having that same end of the year slide year after year after year. Mike McCarthy, you're having the same issues with clock management and whether or not your team is actually attention to detail buttoned up. It's happened in the past. It's not like these new things we're inventing. It's old things that are rearing its head.
But say he was an assistant coach and he took over one of the worst franchises and was building these wins. There's a narrative that he's like one of the more successful coaches in their franchise history. I think Cliff brings a lot of baggage.
I know, but there's a part of the NFL where, and like Belichick figured this out, not this year necessarily, but like it's not about September and October. You know, it's about December and January.
Do you realize this is the Cardinals, though? This is not the Patriots. They were not winning when Cliff got there.
I know. 3-13.
If I told you when the day he got hired that they were going to win 11 games in 2021 and you're going to want to move on from him, you would have thought I was insane.
That's true. Although life comes at you fast in the NFL. That's for sure.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. I don't know if we learned anything in that Against the Grain, which is pretty much the tagline for all Against the Grains.
No, I loved it.
But there's
sticking up for the losers.
There's a similar situation in the NBA to all these NFL coaches getting chased off their teams. Cliff Kingsbury wins 11 games. He's on the hot seat. Mike McCarthy wins 12 games. He's on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
What if I told you there was a coach who won a title 2 years ago in the NBA, which is hard to do, as I recall, and he's on the hot seat. Frank Vogel is game to game with the Lakers? What's going on here, Maggie?
What if I told you, like, this is going to be the 30 for 30, the Frank Vogel story? No offense to Coach Vogel, but I don't think he's going to make it in.
So, I don't even think Frank Vogel makes it into the documentary about the championship year. He's such a side player. Yes.
I know. Oh, man, that's disrespectful. So the Athletics, Bill Orem and Sam Amick, who you and I know, said that Vogel is actually being evaluated now, get this, on a game-to-game basis. Game-to-game basis. That he narrowly avoided being fired by the Lakers after their 133-96 loss to the Denver Nuggets on Saturday. And had the Lakers lost in similar fashion to the Jazz on Monday, sources believed it would have been Vogel's last game with the Lakers. I mean, game-to-game basis, what are we doing? The problem is with this is so not surprising if you've been following what's been going on with the Lakers. So The Athletic also had this report back in September, which was surprising to a lot of people, that after the Lakers won the title, normally coaches get extensions after that. Frank Vogel allegedly got 1 year tacked on to his deal. Mm. So he's only the coach through this year. That's it.
So game to game, if you're the coach and they say you're game to game, don't you just say fire me? I mean, what's the point of being game to game? If it's going to be game to game, just do it. There's no reason to wait and see. Nothing's going to happen in a game against Oklahoma City that's going to change the trajectory of the team.
Yeah, it's not fair. You're dangling your coach out here. But yeah, the thing about coaches, and especially on super teams like this, and especially when LeBron's involved, like you need a fall guy, because at some point in the season, if you have to pivot or you have to make a big change, well, trading Russell Westbrook is going to be really freaking difficult.
The money, right?
The money is crazy, and you've already invested a lot. You've traded half your team away for him. You know, to turn around and trade him again, I think would be really, really difficult, if not impossible. Maybe this offseason you could do it, but not right now. And you're going to need something that's going to shake up this team. And the coach is always your, you know, I always say coaches are usually your cheapest mistake, just because compared to the players and what they're making. But it's impactful. And let's not forget David Fizdale, who LeBron was very close with from the Miami days, was just hired on the staff before the season started.
Ooh, you don't like to see that if you're Frank Vogel. But, you know, you mentioned the roster. It's not a good roster.
Right.
I mean, you bring in Carmelo Anthony, Avery Bradley, Wayne Ellington, Trevor Ariza, Kent Bazemore, DeAndre Jordan. Okay, 2015, I'm feeling something here, but not now. And you miss Alex Caruso so much defensively. You always hear, anytime I hear any Lakers analysis, it's like, oh, the defense is not the same this year. So I think it's the front office more than Vogel. And honestly, if I'm him, I kind of want out. I think this is a bad situation.
Yeah, but first of all, if you're a head coach, you're not going to abandon your team. You know, this isn't like a Nick Saban in Miami situation or something like that.
Yeah, but ownership's abandoning you.
Well, definitely. But that's also, you know, not to steal from Don Draper, but that's what the money's for. You know, you're being paid like to, you know, spearhead this team. He already knows, because they didn't offer him more than a one-year contract to tack on to the end of his first deal. After you win the title, like, they're telling you without telling you, aren't they? That, hey, we want to keep this flexible here so that we don't have to make any long-term commitments to you money-wise in case we want to move on. And the funny thing about the front office, of course they should be taking the slings and arrows here, no doubt. But that's what happens when you have LeBron James on your team. Everyone believes he's the de facto GM, so they get cover too.
Yeah, not Rob Pelinka.
Right.
That's a really good point. But you bring up another point, like, what is going to inspire this team? Because if Anthony Davis comes back and is healthy, they still, you know, LeBron doesn't have many more years left. They still want to win a title. Basically, the way we describe the roster, they're not going to add any more talent. So
they'll do something at the deadline. It's just not going to be involving Russell Westbrook, I don't think.
Yeah, so but they have no room to bring in anybody of any serious quality. Do you think if AD comes back, he's healthy, LeBron stays healthy, and Westbrook has showing signs of improvement, he played well yesterday, do you think that they're a real threat to come out of the West?
Definitely.
Okay.
I'm not going to ever count out a LeBron team. You know, I can't. If he's healthy, if Anthony Davis comes back and is healthy, yeah, sure. I mean, listen, that was an incredible matchup with the Suns until AD got hurt.
Yeah, I know. The Lakers were going to roll there. Has anyone ever uttered, I'm never going to count out a Frank Vogel team? That's a sentence. I've never, never.
It doesn't have the same ring to it as the LeBron thing.
It's sad, but, you know, now that you say it, it's like, we're not even going to notice if Frank Vogel gets displaced.
Well, and LeBron has already got his guys on the coaching staff, you know? And so what was, I thought, interesting, got lost a little bit over the weekend because all the football was happening. But, you know, Magic Johnson, whose tweets have become a little bit of like a cottage industry on Twitter because they're just so obvious. It's, you just got to.
They're the best.
Yeah, you got to see it. But So Magic tweets out over the weekend after being blown out by the Nuggets 133-96. Like, he includes a score. I mean, it's wild. We as Laker fans can accept being outplayed, but we deserve more than a lack of effort and no sense of urgency. Owner Jeannie Buss, who he added, you deserve better. Now, what's crazy about that is Magic, remember, was part of the front office until he decided to step away, like, on a random Thursday because, you know, he missed being Magic Johnson.
Oh, my God.
And he wanted to be able to talk with other players around the league without it being tampering.
Right. Not only are his tweets usually obvious, they're often misguided, too. And you, great point. It's totally hypocrisy. I have a question. How many years does a title earn you as a coach in today's sports world?
Ugh.
It shocked me.
Yeah. Not as many as it used to.
Joe Maddon broke a 100-year curse, and that bought him very little time with the Chicago Cubs.
I know.
Doug Peterson won the first Super Bowl ever in Philadelphia. Then he's gone because he pulled Jalen Hurts of a third quarter of a meaningless game. I feel like it should be 5 years, and now it's like 2 years. And Frank Vogel is getting nothing. He gets no respect.
It's like Rodney Dangerfield. You know what I think what's happening is, especially in baseball, but maybe in every sport, the front offices are the ones who have the power and the coaches don't.
And that's true with the Lakers, too.
Yeah. And and it's the front office, but it's also a star who also has a lot of power and their agent. So, like, you know, Rich Paul. So, like, I think with baseball, I mean, we don't even count managers anymore as, like, we just believe they're middle managers. Like, we don't even give them, like, almost any credit. We definitely blame them for stuff that goes wrong during games, but we don't give them any credit. We believe that, like, the nerds, you know, in the back office are putting together the lineups and all of that. And for a lot of franchises, I think it's not all that off base.
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, I knew all the baseball managers. Now there's 30 teams. I bet you the average fan can't name half of them.
No, you got to go to your Dartmouth connection here so that we can find all the people in the front office that are really making decisions in Major League Baseball, because it ain't the managers. It's people you went to college with.
Although I did go to college with Brad Ausmus, who was a longtime manager.
Yeah.
He was very good at baseball for the Ivy League. No, you're right. I think baseball, and it's definitely leaking to the NBA. I mean, Frank Vogel was sort of a utilitarian hire. Nobody brought him in to inspire anyone. I think that's because they had LeBron. But I think you're right. I think Rob Pelinka, I don't want to say he's a big ego, but I think he has grand plans. You know, he's sort of the Kobe mold. They were great friends.
Of course.
I feel like he feels like he's the championship builder here.
No, I think
you don't think so?
My read is that he's along for the ride, and whatever LeBron says, LeBron's going to get, because that's what's different about baseball and basketball. Is baseball, it's the front office nerds, you know, who have all the power, or at least we believe. And in basketball, it's the superstars who actually have the power. And some of the analytics, like you're seeing what happened in Dallas, remember, where they hired a sports bettor, Haralabob Vulgaris, who was working in their front office, and then he got fired because there was some friction between him and Rick Carlisle, or at least that's what the report was. So there's a lot that's going on, but the coaches are getting less and less power, which is weird, though, because I think in the NFL, the coach is still so huge of determining your success. But think about it. Even the coach has an analytics guy who's got a direct line into their headset.
Right, and that's why the Cowboys lost, according to Mike McCarthy, because the analytics screwed him up on that quarterback.
Yeah, it was Zach and analytics who gave him the wrong play call.
Are you sure? So you're putting the blame for the Russell Westbrook trade clearly on LeBron. You're not putting it on Rob Pelinka. Because there are I have a lot of Laker fan friends, and they all think Rob Pelinka is destroying this franchise.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I can't tell you for certain who's the one who, like, ordered the code red, but
I think you might be right.
I mean, LeBron has played GM in a few different stops, so why wouldn't I think it would happen again? Also, I think that he probably feels like he earned the trust. You know, just even going back to the Cleveland days, when I know Andrew Wiggins now is kind of resurrecting his career, but, you know, when he got Wiggins out and brought, you know, Kevin Love in and, you know, made some other changes there, you know, David Blatt was the coach, and I think LeBron wanted Ty Lue. Listen, those ended up being winning moves.
Yeah, but traditionally, a superstar signing guys can go one of many ways. Like, Michael Jordan was terrible.
Right.
He tried to bring in his friends. Tom Brady, I think, got a little lucky last year with Gronk, Antonio Brown, and Leonard Fournette. So, yeah, I don't believe this model that a LeBron or anyone can judge players. I think LeBron was probably too close to Russell Westbrook. I think if he did make the decision, I would pull away a little bit.
Well, it's interesting because we're saying all that, yet I'm still believing that they still have a shot at a title. So, you know, that's where we are in the NBA. We get all that? Oh, yeah, LeBron tweeted, Laker Nation, I apologize. I promise we'll be better.
Was that all said and done? Was it a good deal for Frank Vogel? Say he gets fired in a couple weeks. He got in. He got a title. If you could go back to the beginning of the Frank Vogel era with the Lakers, you think he would do it again?
Definitely.
Yeah,
you got the title.
It was a great ride for him. He didn't really have to do anything.
He was coaching the Orlando Magic before that. Like, it was, yeah, Frank Vogel, definitely.
He did fine. So if he gets fired, you are not worried about Frank Vogel. And I'm sure he gets another job. There's like a ton of mid-level franchises that are going to hire a Frank Vogel. I mentioned the Thunder. I mean, I don't even know. Like, they probably are eyeing him right now. I don't know who the coach is right now.
Maybe he's making some kind of backroom deal. It is Maggie and Perloff, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Man, I've got an admission that I've got to make here. I almost got, like, catfished today by an ad on a sports website. Or just, like, a news website. You know those ads that, like, they're kind of just like hiding sort of in between the headlines.
So they look like a headline?
They look like real news stories, but when you actually get there, it turns out that it's just total clickbait. And I almost fell for one. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good at reading the internet.
What did it say?
This is embarrassing. I don't know why this is the one that got me. Again, I'm usually very good at deciphering what's the real and what's the fake. I mean, we were talking last week about that Antonio Brown with the toilet liquor. I was all over that thing, right?
That
smelled
was real.
It out. Well, not that was weird to say, but you know what I'm talking about.
That was real, as it turned out, right?
It turned out it was real.
And you knew it because I was like, this can't be true. And you're like, nope.
No,
nope.
I know the internet sometimes. This one almost got me, and I don't know why. It was Zellweger admits marriage to Kenny was a fraud. What, Maggie? Why? I don't care about Kenny Chesney. I don't really care about Renee Zellweger. Why would I click on that? And I was like about to, and it was like my radar went off, and thankfully, I avoided it.
How did you know it was Kenny Chesney? So you had enough knowledge of the situation to know Renee Zellweger at one point was married to Kenny Chesney.
That's a fair point. Somehow it just gets into your brain. I don't know.
And why I would click on that story. It sounds like an interesting story.
It's definitely not a real story.
So I don't understand because I actually usually don't click on this. So when you click on it, does it tell you anything about Kenny Chesney and Renee Zellweger?
Odds are no. Odds are it's going to be some kind of photo gallery that's just going to get you to click on 50 more pages so that you give their website clicks.
Oh, so they're aiming for clicks. Because I see these things all the time. I don't understand.
Welcome to the internet.
I often read,
Dad.
But I never click on any of that stuff. Like, I'm always reading ESPN.com on my phone, and then there's an ad. It says, refinance your mortgage, and it's a picture of this voluptuous woman. And I'm like, what does that have to do with my mortgage? And I've never clicked on it. Yeah. Like, there's a sixth sense that says, don't click on that. Nothing, you know.
I'm surprised you needed a sixth sense for that one. I did the original five senses didn't tell you that one was probably going to be some kind of bait.
You know what? I run into a problem. It's weird, but whenever you try and download a YouTube video onto your desktop, and yeah. I've worked with IT guys on this, you're very likely to use a site that will give you some sort of virus problem on your computer.
Oh, we should have led the show with that. That's like a PSA.
Yes. I am terrified. I'm so, in this day and age, like the worst thing is like, have you ever seen that show Black Mirror? It's about
yes.
like technological horror when they like people are going to hack your the camera on your computer. I am totally terrified of clicking on the wrong thing. Even this story said it shuttered down my like, but I don't know what happens when you click on the Kenny and Renee thing.
Even Perloff's text messages to his family go through two-factor authentication. Well yes. done.
Yes.
All right, that's where we're going to have to leave it for today. Thank you so much to Kovacs, to Mike Samter. Fantastic job today. We'll be back with you tomorrow for a whole lot of fun. And we're going to be talking to our friend Mike Sielski, who wrote a new book about Kobe Bryant and his origin story. That's going to be really cool tomorrow. So Laker fans, get ready. Thank you to everyone at CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Marlo Donahue, and SiriusXM Channel 158. We out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.